بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My dear brothers, sisters and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you first of all. And I just want to say thank you to Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya. When I travel around with the other speakers and we go around, you know, you see different personalities. You know, speakers and shuyukh, they also like everyone else. Some of them very rigid, very, you know, military type. They don't want to move left and right. This is what you promised me. This is what I want and all that. Some of them, you know, carefree. Some of them very accommodating, very nice. They will, you know, bend backwards just to make sure that things are done. And, you know, one of the people that I always, always enjoy his company and I always like to be with him is Sheikh Abdul Bari. Very easygoing Sheikh. You say, yeah, Sheikh, give a lecture right now, inshallah. Let us go, inshallah. Let us stand here, inshallah. Let us eat, inshallah. Everything, mashallah, tabarakallah. And that is a quality of a mu'min. And that's the Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, you know, some of the friendship, you know, some of the friends that you have, they're like flies, you know, little flies. What does a fly does? What do they do in general? The fly will come and fly all over you. And they will only land when it hurts. You have a little cut, that's where they're going to land on it. So they're not a good friend. Others, it's like this earth that you walk on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Some of the people are very, very hayyin layyin, and he's always there for you. And one of them is Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya, may Allah bless him. I'm saying this because he's not here and it's perfectly fine to praise somebody in his absence because it is not sunnah to do so. Today I gave lecture in Somali in defending you guys, fighting for you guys. So, you know, you should pay me for that, inshallah. I was telling the parents, you know, the issues that you guys having getting married. I spoke on your behalf, and I hope that none of the parents are listening, and I hope that you also appreciate that. I divided things into a few points. Some points concerning the parents, mother and a father, some concerning the sisters, and also another point concerning the brothers. And I want to, you know, mention to you what I said. And I said to them, and I will say to you, that number one, when Allah was talking about marriage and talking about, you know, us being together, husband and wife, Allah referred that as one of His greatest ayat. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. He said, from the ayat of Allah that He made you pairs, husband and wife. This is from the ayat Allah. This is from the blessings of Allah that marriage happens between husband and wife in the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, it is from the sunnah of the anbiya when Allah said, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. Ya Muhammad, we indeed have sent messengers before you and we gave them wives and children and grandchildren. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage the young people. And he used to say, Ya ma'ashir al-shabab, or young men and women, man istata'a, especially to the men, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. If you're capable of getting married, get married as soon as you can. And then he mentioned the benefits of marriage. The benefits of marriage. And he said, for those of you who cannot afford to get married, then let them fast. Let them, you know, continuously, inshallah, be fasting until they get married. In my observation, you guys have to deal with multiple barriers, multiple issues. One, I believe, from my point of view, some of the fathers, they're not playing up to their part. They're not playing up to being a part of being a father for the sons and fathers, father for the daughters. Like, look, Islamically, we always tell you, boys don't talk to the girls. Am I right? Even though you do. And we tell them, girls don't talk to the boys. You also do that. You know. But we tell you that. And we don't give you alternative. We don't give you other option. And how many young people came to say, Brother Shah, hey, you're telling me not to talk to her. You're telling me not to talk to him for the sisters. And then how am I going to ever get married? You know, the masjid is saying this interest for the brothers, that interest for the sisters, you know, east and west, don't see each other with iyadu billah, you know, lower your gaze, don't do this. So how else would I find the suitable mate, the suitable wife, the suitable husband? And that is legit in question. You absolutely have every right to ask that question. Now, as a father, as a parent, it is indeed the responsibility of the father, and especially of the father and the mother, to facilitate these situations for you. Not arranged marriage, don't get me wrong. Not arranged marriage, but to facilitate. For example, I'm just saying for example, if I found a young man, if a father finds a young man, mashallah, he is good, you know, his deen is good, his akhlaq is good, mashallah, comes to the masjid, he is doing his education, or he already finished his education, and he has a nice job, he's driving a nice car, he's responsible, you see him, you know, volunteering at the masjid, you see him doing a lot of khair. Every father will love to have that young man as husband of his daughter. What I can do as a father is to go to my daughter that I think is ready, she's ready for marriage. And I say, sweetie, I have this, you know, young man and he's good in every way. Would you like to consider? That's the jobs of the fathers. And if she says, okay, I don't mind, then I can show him from a distance. I say, well, look, that little guy, that is the one that I'm talking about. You know, that one, you know, with the afro is the one who's hitting the, you know, that's the, and then she said, oh, a'udhu billah, I don't want him, you know, or she said, I don't know, daddy, and that means she wants him, right? Then I have to facilitate, as a father, I have to facilitate, you know, maybe I will bring this young man, if she was not, she couldn't look at him very well, I can say, you know, come on, you know, I want to invite you in my house, not telling him anything. I'm just, you know, throwing ideas there. I can invite him to my house. I can say, you know, have some lunch, have eat, you know, come for a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. And then she can see him from distance. And if she says, thumbs up, you know, good to go, then I can approach him. And that's why, what did Umar do, radiyallahu anhu? When his daughter Hafsa was ready for marriage, what did he do? And we have to follow the footsteps of these people. Umar radiyallahu anhu, his daughter Hafsa was ready for marriage. So who did he go? He went to Uthman bin Affan. Because Uthman bin Affan, subhanallah, he married two daughters of the Messenger of Allah. He was one of the first people who made hijrah to Abyssinia. He also made hijrah to, you know, the city of Medina. He is one of the Mubashirin bil Jannah. He is the man that the Messenger of Allah said, Malaika tastahi min. Malaika will feel shy when the presence of Uthman bin Affan. He has so many merits. So he said, well, this man is the most suitable for my daughter. That was his first pick. So he went to Uthman. Uthman, my daughter Hafsa is ready for marriage. Would you like? And I guarantee you that conversation with Hafsa was already done. Sweetie, I have somebody, you know. And Uthman said, he thought about it. He said, no, I don't want it. Thank you very much. May Allah bless you. But I'm not interested in getting married now. And then who did he go to? According to him, the next best person was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. We know about Abu Bakr. And then when he went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Abu Bakr, he just said, okay. And he kept quiet. And Umar, he said, then I took it to my heart. You know, I took it the wrong way. Uthman ibn Affan was man enough to say, thank you very much for the offer, but I don't want your daughter. You, on the other hand, Abu Bakr, you just hear what I said, no yes, no, nothing, no response, and you walked away. And then, of course, who came to propose to Hafsa was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abu Bakr, he said, Umar, let me talk to you. You know what happened? I heard the Messenger of Allah mentioning her. And I didn't want to expose the secret of Rasulullah. And I didn't want to say yes or no to you. I don't want to be too quick on the trigger. So what I did, I waited. And I was waiting if the Rasulullah says, yes, I'm going to propose to her, then I will back off as I did. Or if he said no, then I would have said to you, yes, I'm willing to marry your daughter. Thank you for the offer. Jazakallah khair. So as a father, I'm just saying the role of the father. The fathers, their job is to filter. And I tell you, sisters, don't ever undermine the role of the fathers. You guys, sisters, you may think your father is dictating you what to do, what not to do, who to be with, who's not to be with. And it's, oh my God, no, you're not choosing a husband for me. You know, I know what I want. Yeah, you don't even know what I like. Trust me, most of the young ladies that got divorced that I dealt with, you know, I listened to their stories. I listened, and I asked the first question. I said, was your father involved with the process? 90% of them say no, because they thought this old man, you know, he knows how to go to coffee shop. You know, he knows how to talk about the Somali politics, for example. He knows how to... No. When it comes to marriage, I'm choosing the right, you know, nigger, as they say, you know. That's what they're saying. You know. Right. But when it comes to reality, the purpose of the fathers is to filter these guys who are coming to you. They have to filter. And that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, listen, if a person comes to you and he has two things, he has deen and character. Two different things. He has deen. Deen means, you know, he comes for Salat al-Fajr, he comes for Isha, he goes for Hajj and Umrah if he can. You know, he is mashallah, you know, he lowers his gaze. You can see deen, you know, inside or out of this person. That's good, mashallah, tabarakallah. And not every man who has deen, my dear sisters, has manners or he can be a good husband. That's not the case. Deen is one thing that Rasulullah was so precise. He said deen and manners. He said khuluq. I'll tell you what khuluq means in Arabic. Khuluq. But deen, hadith Abdullah in Umar bin Khattab. Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, this lady, she came to him and she said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this man by the name Az-Zubayr bin Awam. How many of you know Zubayr bin Awam? How many of you? You guys don't know Zubayr bin Awam? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And you want to get married? Zubayr bin Awam was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu, but that's not sufficient sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was one of the first few people who accepted Islam. As soon as Abu Bakr became a Muslim, he said, Ya Rasul, what should I do? He said, well, call people to Islam. The first six people that he brought, one of them was Az-Zubayr bin Awam. And his mother is Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib, which means he's a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was one of the Ashar Mubashirin bil Jannah. One of the 10 Sahabi that received the glad tidings of Jannah. That should be enough. The man has deen. And he was one of the greatest mujahideen. His son, Abdullah ibn Amr, Abdullah ibn Zubayr ibn Awam, he said, my father said, when at the time of war, when things got very heated, you know, people used to put armors to protect themselves and metal. He said, no, my father used to go topless. You know, he used to expose his body to the swords. And he said, sometimes with my little hands, I used to put my hands where the wounds were and they used to fit. After they got healed. He said, you know, I can still see the head, you know, the marks of the swords. So this man is a Sahabi. And he is not only Sahabi, Ashar al-Mubashir, and he's only not that, he's a Muhajir. So Umar ibn al-Khattab, she said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this man, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, came to propose to me. And well, you know what he said? قَالَ أَنْعَمْ بِهِ رَجُلًا. He's a wonderful man. Don't marry him. Don't marry him. Why? Because he was harsh. Ulama, they said, he was harsh dealing with women. Why? Because he was raised by his mother Safiya. And Safiya, she was an extremely tough lady. And when the kids, when he was a little baby, and he comes home running and say, oh, so-and-so beat me up, she would beat him again. So go back and beat him up again. Go back and beat that kid. So she was a tough lady. So that's how he knows, because he was not raised by his father. So only he knows, you know, a tough mother. And that's where khuluq comes. Khuluq, it means, you know, it could be manners, it could be attitude, it could be way of you know, life. So a person may have good deen, but it could be stingy. A person may have a good deen, but quick temper. A person may have a good deen, you know, but he has, you know, other things. So the Messenger of Allah said, hey fathers, when somebody comes to you, check his deen and check his manners. So young lady, if a young man comes to you, when they come to you, they're not going to show you that they're stingy. They're not going to show you that they, you know, quick temper and they have bad attitudes and they have, you won't see that. That is for the father to see. So you need to understand, give your father the due respect, let him do his job. And when he filters that, then you can proceed and do whatever you want to do after that in halal wa inshallah. So the fathers, you know, you as young people, number one, you got to give your parents a chance. Now, other thing when it comes to the mothers, which is another point. When it comes to mothers, and boys, you should know this. Mothers, by the way, they will never think any of you is good for their daughters. You know that? No mother would ever say, oh, this is a young man, mashallah, he does this, he's a perfect husband for my daughter. She would always say, my daughter deserves better than you. My daughter can get married to someone better than you. In her mind, her mother, her daughter is the best, is hur al-ayn of this dunya. Right? And you're, in your mind is like, inshallah, I'll marry this one, and then inshallah, next one, and then the third one, and then the fourth one, and then inshallah, hur al-ayn, I want to marry 100 wives. And the mother is like, no. You can't even handle my daughter. Two different perspectives of things. Two different things. So you got to understand the role of the mothers and the fathers. I want to talk about some of your struggle that I faced with, that I'm familiar with. And I'm going to speak about the issues that young men have with young ladies, not in particular in the particular in this place, but wherever I go, trust me, it's identical issues. It's a blueprint. So I'll tell you some of the issue that young people have or young men have with young ladies. First of the thing is, young men, a lot of them, they think it is too expensive to get married. Especially if you're Somali, miskin. Because a mahr is one thing, one event, which is, you know, a nikah is one event. Then a wedding is another event. There's a gabati. You know what gabati is? You guys don't know what gabati is? Fish and chips. You guys know what gabati is? Huh? Gabati is like, in Somali culture, like if you're getting married, you know, you have to give the elders of your tribe some cash. Not to come. But you give cash and you say, listen, and what they do, they will take this cash and they will say to the other tribe from the young lady that you're marrying, and they say, we want you to marry us, marry our son, your daughter, and according to the book of Allah, and this is the gift from the tribe. Who paid the gift? Came out of your pocket. And then that they take that money, and the other tribe will bring somebody some amount back, but they will share it 50-50. So what happens to that money? You go, they go back, and they give back to the community. So they give £20 here, £20 in Canada, $20, $20, $20, and then a few hundreds in their pockets. That's what it is, and the other guys would do this. So if you're Somali, so the young man is saying, I have to rent this place, I have to do this, I have to have this amount of money, I have to buy the best furniture, I have to get a flat in the best neighborhood, I gotta do this, a lot of expenses. And also, some young ladies, they have an issue they call, meher, kasamata galan. Meher, they have meher, so they say, okay, I want my meher, I want my dowry. And the sisters will say, the brother say, how much? Say, $50,000. You're joking. You think I'm joking? Well, I am not. One of the young ladies, she said, I want $50,000. I said, sister, he's not buying a car. He's just getting married to you. 50,000, yeah. And then she says, no. He can pay me some right now. He can give me 5,000 cash right now. And then 45 in case of divorce. That's the security money. That's insurance money. That's insurance money, liability. Liability? Wait a second. So it's me. So she is literally saying, I dare you to divorce me. Because if you ever think of divorcing me, you got to pay me £45,000. And everybody's like, no way. So young guys is like, I don't know, what if I don't like her? What if we don't get along? I have to pay $45,000. That's a lot of money. So young people sometimes say, listen, I'll wait. And that's those who say, I'll wait, and I will fast and avoid haram as someone like you. But those other people, they will go to shisha, and they will smoke halal shisha, and they will go to a coffee shop, and they will talk about Sahih al-Bukhari, and they will go to a movie, and on Friday, and they will read Surah al-Kahf in the movies, in the cinema. They will do all that. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of problems comes out of that. So that's one issue. But remember Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is for young ladies, the Prophet said, the barakah in those young ladies is in those who make the process of their engagement easy. They don't complicate. The process of asking for her hand is easy. And the expenses of the wedding is little. If you have these two things, sisters, then Allah promised you to put barakah in your marriage. Barakah. What do you want? You want Allah to bless your marriage. Am I right? Everybody wants that. So if you want barakah from Allah, well, make the process easy and ask little, ma'una, called ma'una in the shaq, which means don't overburden the person who came to marry you. Don't make it difficult. Your mother should not make it difficult. And I know a lot of young ladies, wallahi, a lot of them, most of them, they said, I don't want to do any of this, but my mother is making me do it. My mother wants this. And the mothers, they want to have a wedding that they miss. They want to relive their own wedding through their daughters. My mother didn't do this for me, so I have to do it for you. So the mother thinks, I have seen all different types of marriage. I have seen so-and-so's daughter. I have seen so-and-so's daughter. The best marriage is this. This is what I would like for myself. The second issue that the young people have, or young men, is they say a lot of sisters, they wear hijab, they come to the masjid, they pray salah with us, they have halaqat, but inside, they are not really what they say. And the first thing about in their mind and heart is feminist movement. They think men are abusing them, men are taking away their haqq, and they may look like us, the brothers, the young brothers saying they may look like us, but it's nothing but a feminist movement, you know, really beaming out of their speech and out of their eyes. And that is a problem. That's the problem. A lot of young ladies, they think what the things that is being taught in the universities, the education that they're getting from this, you know, different countries, that's telling them you've been abused, you know, fight men, be better than them, be like them, be this. Say, you know, this man, I don't want him to restrict me. And a lot of young people, they say, yachi, you know, I don't know who is the husband, who is the wife. We cannot call it she's wearing the pants. You know what that means? It means she's the boss. No, she's the one who's doing it. And he said, listen, if I'm the husband, I'm the husband, I have my role. And she's the wife. Why, you know, she's trying to take and switch roles, or why she wants to, overtake both roles, which is not right. And you have to understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave sisters their haqq. You don't need any professor to tell you that. You don't need a feminist movement to tell you that. Allah already gave you that haqq. I was looking one of the passports. You know, when you're bored and you sit with your friends, let me see your passport. And I'm checking the page. And it was saying, I think it was 19-something. In his country, in 19-something, the page says, in 19-something, in that particular country, it was recognized women as a person. They recognize women as persons, as a human being. That was just yesterday, 19th century. In France, in 1914, women were not allowed to own any properties, any property. You can't own a horse. She was not allowed to own, you know, a farm. None of that. None of that. And if the father dies and he leaves everything for his daughter, her husband, when she's married, husband is taking everything. That is his haqq. This was only 1914. You know, it wasn't long ago. Look, I mean, I'm talking about through history. But look, you know, Allah and Quran gave sisters their haqq. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave women their haqq. So for you sisters to speak like these women or this feminist movement and say, we want this. Hey, wait a second. Have you ever asked if this is your haqq or not? One of the things, for example, that is illegal in my country is something called spousal support. You know what that means? Do you guys have that? Spousal support, it means if a husband and wife, they married and they got divorced, the wife will get a portion of his money every month. So it basically, every month he has to pay her that much. Islamically, after the iddah is done. But they say, no, this is the right of the... So if whatever rights that they say is based on the Quran and Sunnah, we say Alhamdulillah. If it's not, then we should not... I'm not saying we should not implement that. I'm not saying husband and wife should not talk to each other, should not work together. That's not what I'm saying. But the fear of these young men, they said, you know, when we marry a sister, she is not what she looks like. That hijab, that jilbab is only skin or, you know, hijab, what they call deep. Under that hijab, she's another person. Under that hijab, she's like any other non-Muslim lady. And I mean, you know, asking things that is not her right. So if you want to live Islamic life, you want to live in the Muslim household, if you want to create that, then we have Islamic deen, we have the Muslim deen of Islam, that can tell you the haqq, the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife. The third thing that the young men are facing, also I think this one is common between you two, and that is parents, they interfere with the marriage, and especially young people, always young men voice that more than young ladies. So when they get married and they go married together, husband and wife, the mothers and the fathers get involved in their marriage. So the brothers are saying, she's my wife, this is my kid, or my kids. Why her mother is involved with our lives? Why? You know, her mother should not be involved with that. And I guarantee you, majority of the cases that I dealt with that end up with divorce, the second question after I say, was your father, you know, this and that, the second question is, and I ask him that, is her mother involved with the divorce? 90% yes. 90%. Some of you may think, oh, my mother wants the best thing for me. Yeah, that's true. In her mind, getting you out of that situation, getting you out of it is what she thinks is best for you. But you, as a husband and wife, you got to learn how to live together. I'm not saying you should ever, ever entertain abuse. But I'm saying you guys got to learn how to live together. And I always say marriage is like learning how to drive. How many of you can drive? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You guys, you have no vehicles in UK? How many of you are over 16? All of you, and you still don't drive? In Canada, by the age of 16, they got drivers the first. Anyway, but for those, since you guys don't know how to drive, you know, this driving is like this. You know, when you're learning how to drive, sometimes you hit the brake the wrong time, and you accelerate the wrong time, and you signal the wrong direction, and but when you learn how to drive, it becomes very natural. You could be on your phone, you start the car, you shift, you move, and you go, and you're at the mess. You don't know how you got there, right? Marriage is like that. You gotta learn, you gotta give it its time. Husband and wife have to learn how to live together. Because whatever personality that you showed her or you showed him is not the true personality until, you know, it's not the true personality of you. You can only experience the true personality when you guys live together. When you don't like where she put her toothbrush, you know, when you don't like when he leaves his socks out since at the door, you don't like little things like that, and then that causes friction and fight. So you gotta give yourself time. So what do? I always ask young people to do two things. Number one, keep your parents away from your marriage. Both of them, because each one is, oh my God, I gotta protect my daughter. Oh my God, the other lady's involved. I gotta save my son. And then you become the victim. You become the casualty of that war. So what do? Don't get them involved. I would ask you, go to an imam, go to a counselor before you let any of your parents know. Especially if you think they won't be rational and they will be emotional about it. The second thing that I always give them advice about, don't have kids. Yeah. No kids. For the first 2-3 years. No kids, I'll tell you why. Because when a sister gets pregnant, she's no longer the same person. She's a lioness. She will devour you alive. She will kill you for the little things. She is no longer even herself. You know, her emotions are completely different. You know, and you think, hey, she used to be sweet. You know, she used to smell nice. No, she used to be this. What happened? You know, well, she's pregnant. You know, you don't know her personality long enough to say, well, this is not my wife. Change only happened after she became pregnant. So I understand what she's going to go through. So the first 4 months, 5 months, I'll be patient, because after that, they will be normal. Last 3 months, is they all only concerned about pains, you know, worries about labor and things like that. And they're not emotional. That's how Allah created most women. Most women. So as a young man who have no experience in marriage, when you see the change that is happening, you say, man, I can't deal with this. I'm going to go do halal shisha. You go to your friends. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to go play ball. I'm going to have, you know, I can't deal with this. She's a completely different person. So my nasiha to all young people is, until you know that you settle, you're comfortable with her personality, and she's comfortable with your personality, don't rush having kids. I love kids, by the way. I really do. I love kids. But I would not, and I know you all do, at least most of you, but I would say do not have kids right away, because you really still do not know each other well enough. 75% of the divorce happens first 2 years. First year and second year. 75%. Which means the chemistry, it could be there, but you didn't give enough time. You didn't give enough time. The problem now, let us talk about the problem that young ladies have. The problem the young ladies, which is true, they have is they don't find compatible, enough compatible young men to choose for. Most of the girls, I went to Dubai, I went to Saudi, I went to everywhere, Denmark, you name it. I went everywhere in the world, taqriban, everywhere. And everywhere I go, universities, you know, sisters, they are doing better than boys. In terms of deen, sisters are doing much better than boys, in general. In terms of education, same thing. In terms of being focused, they always do better than boys. Almost always do better than boys. So when this young lady, she did very well in her schooling, she has a job, you know, but the person who is in her age bracket, he still is struggling with basics. And one of the reasons, and I mentioned this today, most of young people are not smart enough, and they say after they finish, we call it high school, you call it college, before university. And before they say, I'll take a year off. How many of you heard that? I'll take a year off. I want to take a year off. Most girls, they don't do that. They just say, okay, let me do it once for finish. So by the time she's already, you know, she's established, she has finished education, so she may have a good job, the husband or the young man that she could be married, he's struggling with basics of this life. So the sisters, they say, we don't find compatibility in these, you know, ages. What should we do? Either have to marry someone who's a lot older than I, or that fine person, I really have to struggle finding that person, and that may take time. And that is so true. That's so true. Boys, you don't show, and I'm not necessarily saying you, but I'm saying boys in general, they don't show the responsibility towards that. And they way few steps behind girls. And hey, most of you are right here from different countries. You are, your parents migrated here, or the immigrant, whatever reason, you have your own culture. And most of your culture is telling you, dictating that you can only marry from your own people. Am I right? You know, that's what I always say. I make fun of Somalis, because Somali, bring me a Somali guy. And then after she brings a Somali guy, what tribe is he from? And then when she passed that stage, you know, she said, no, we don't want this, we don't want that. So you still have that. So to find, see, the pool is already, there's not enough fish in that, you know, pool. So when the sister wants to marry, she has to go to Somali community, for example. And from that Somali community, she cannot marry from this tribe, from that tribe. She has to only limit herself to a smaller pool. And then from that smaller pool, she has to find someone on deen. Smaller pool. And then from that smaller pool, she has to find someone who has, you know, decent education, who's responsible, and so on. So the pool is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's not fair for them. That's not fair. So what is the solution? What are the solutions? Number one, I don't know if you guys can really come up with solutions, because you guys, alhamdulillah, could be maybe some of the best kids in town. But The solution is very challenging. And my solution sometimes doesn't please the parents, sometimes may not please you. So I want you guys to think about something that you can do, inshallah, bi-idhni subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the discussion. That's why I want to open the floor for discussion, inshallah. And guys, please don't ask me righteous questions. You know what righteous questions mean? You know, a perfect Muslim question. You don't tell me the truth. He's like, Sheikh, how many rak'ahs qiyam al-layl? You don't even pray your sunnah. Don't ask me about qiyam al-layl. So ask me a real question that I can deal with, not a righteous question. You know, now, I'm going to stop here, inshallah, and I want to hear from you.
Right.
The brother said, and he's absolutely right. He said, you mentioned that you said we should not have kids right away. And the Messenger of Allah, he said, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَلُودَ الْوَدُودَ. Marry women who are walud, who can bear children. And الْوَدُود, who are loving. You know, they are caring, they show affection, they show love, and so on. But I didn't say don't have children. I said to maintain your marriage and to make sure that you don't fail in this marriage, you have to take this measurement. And the environment of the Sahaba is different than our environment. Here, everyone around you, they have boyfriends and girlfriends. You know, marriage to them is just a piece of paper. Nothing, it will not add anything or take anything away from their relationship. Where in a Muslim country in that time, marriage is completely was a different platform. It's completely different. So, and the community, they knew exactly what to do. And even at the time of Sahaba, there was divorce, yet there was not a single person. Every Sahabi, even Sahabi, she get divorced, the Sahaba will wait for Iddah. Iddah is over, you know, 10 Sahabis will come, propose to her. This young man, he divorced his wife, he have another 10 sahabiyat waiting for him to get married. So there was no single mothers, there was no single ladies. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, almost all his wives, they were single mothers. They were mothers, you know, with children. Except Aisha. Even Khadija, she had children. So, but I'm not saying don't have children. I'm saying, you know, wait until you stabilize your relationship. And then you move forward, bi-idhnillah. Now, I can't see you, so forgive me if you raise your hand first, but I saw this young man first, so I'll take you in a second.
I was going to ask, you know, if you find someone, what's the halal way of finding their true character before marrying them?
Trust me. You know, I remember before, you know, I was not married, no experience. You know, me and another five fools, we got together and say, we want to get married, we want to get married, and we all got excited. We all got excited. And there was, we were in a masjid, sitting in the musalla. I still remember musalla, sitting in a musalla. We were five, I think six of us, and we were like, oh, I want to get married, I want to get married, I want to get married. Do you know anybody? No. Do you know anybody? No. You know, we losers. So what happened? We're sitting here, you're talking to each other, and then I say, okay, what would you like in a sister in case I find five of them? Because the first four are mine, you know. So so he said, I want to be hafila, I want to be this and this, and you know, I want her to be skinny. This Pakistani old man sitting right here doing his dhikr towards the qibla, astaghfirullah. And I think he had enough with us. And he just came and said, he's an old man with gray hair sitting in the masjid. And I don't know if he was doing dhikr for ikhlas or he just ran away from home, but he was with us, alhamdulillah. He ran away from his wife. So he said, brothers, say women before marriage, they all hafid, they all beautiful, they all nice. After marriage, Allah knows best, he said. And I would say the same thing about boys, girls. Before marriage, they all nice, they all sensitive, they all romantic, they all this. After marriage, wallahi, they losers, a lot of them. But you gotta be careful. So before, what do? Ask around. That's why it's important to get your parents involved. See, mothers will only know, can really, they will tell you the nature of, only women can tell you the nature of women. And only men can tell you the nature of men. So you need someone, people to get involved. So if your mother, your sisters, your sister-in-law, somebody has to check her out. Akhlaq, manners, you know, who are her friends, where does she go, all of this. And the same thing for boys, for sisters. You want to marry somebody, some male members of your family have to get involved with that person. And don't say, I asked the imam. That's the wrong thing to do. Don't say, we asked the imam, the imam knows him. Because what does the imam know of the Muslim? They come, they pray behind him, and they leave. Nobody knows what they do when they leave the masjid. No, the imam cannot tell you that. So, usually you check the friends that she has. You check the parents. A relationship, and by the way, your parents, your father, your parents-in-law are very crucial in marriage. Don't ever say, I'm marrying him, I'm not marrying his parent. I'm marrying her, I'm not marrying her parents. That's a mistake that you guys make. That's a mistake you make. Don't do that. The other thing is, if you find fault in the sister or in the brother, don't say, inshallah, we will learn together. We will improve our iman together. We will struggle together. No. The only struggle that you're going to have is towards Jahannam if she's not the right person. Trust me. It would be no struggle. So, this is when you marry with a person, basically that is the best position that he or she will be in that relationship. Yes, a lot of people, they grow together. But when you hear it, we grow together, mashallah, we've been married for 40 years, for 50 years. They learn how to tolerate one another. They learn how not to be in their, you know, in their faces all the time. How to live together, how to be civil with one another. They do grow, a lot of them change. Allah guides whoever he wills, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of. But usually, if you think she's going to change or he's going to change, that's one of the biggest mistakes in the marriage. Now, somebody was asking questions. Yes, no, please, read it from here, from there.
Does it have to be related to marriage?
I don't mind. But I like the one that relates to marriage. If you can, somebody give it to him, shall we? First, you know, ask the first question. Do you have any more question? Yes. While the sister is asking her question, if you can filter the questions and put first the ones that are related to marriage, and then if you run out of that, then we can go entertain the rest. Yes, sister, in the back.
Okay, so I just continuing on what you said about parents, like looking into the person that they're marrying, and then also the friends. And if it's someone from a different race or culture who's still Muslim, but your parents only don't speak their language, how would they go about trying to get to know your family? And, you know, his background, it'd be very difficult because of the language barriers.
Right. Well, number one, you know, if the parents are even, mashallah, tabarakallah, willing to entertain someone from different race, I say, alhamdulillah. You know, that's it. By itself is a barrier. But find someone else, not necessarily your father, but it could be your brother, your siblings, it could be a cousin, it could be someone that you trust his deen and his judgment. They don't have to be, he doesn't have to be the father. But find someone, because in this case, he finds someone that you trust and your father trusts. Because if you both trust that person and he gives you the feedback, then they will go off that. Otherwise, you know, there's no way your father can filter the true personality of this person, cannot know what this person is all about. Now, any more questions from the floor with questions that relates to marriage? Yes.
Money that you pay, like the dowry,
like in Islam, like how do you deal with like the parents? Because obviously the mother might be like to take this amount or take this amount. How do you deal with it, like between like who has final say with?
Really, we need to re-educate our parents, right? We need to re-educate them. And I always say to them, we in an era where halal is made difficult and haram made easy, right? So for the parents to ask heavy mihr or to ask extra expenses, it's not fair. It's not fair for you, it's not fair for the young ladies. Because the young ladies, they mostly independent. They have their education, they have their jobs, they don't need this mahar money. But it is usually comes from the older generation. So you, through the person that you want to marry, or the young person, through young man, through the person he wants to marry, that sister have to convince her parents, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. I want, alhamdulillah, you can ask for something reasonable. But you don't have to ask for 50,000 or 20,000 or 10,000 or 5,000. You don't have to ask that amount of money. But you ask for something that is reasonable, it's fine. But the sisters is the one that has to do the job, really. They the one who have the sisters, you have to do the job and say, okay, I don't want this. I like this guy, I like his deen, I like his manners, he's responsible, I ask around, you ask around, he's a good guy. Why do you have to make, you know, condition for him to pay so much money or to promise me so much money for this marriage to go through? So the sisters have to do their jobs, their part. Now, any question? Yes.
I'm asking a question on behalf of a friend. What about if you get married to a sister, but she can't bear a child? What would you do in that scenario?
Well, if you knew before marriage, if you knew before marriage and you chose to be with that sister, then alhamdulillah, you stay with that sister because that's the one that you chose, right? If you didn't know and then later on, you know, you learned, then it is your decision, as a matter of fact, if both of you, if you want to stay together, and which is better choice, but you have also the other alternative choice, the Sharia choices, or you can, you know, I don't know, but that's your choice by then. See, you gotta ask what is culturally known in your region or in your country. So, if it's, let us say, the culture in Saudi, for example, is different than the culture in UK. Pakistani culture is different than Palestinian culture or Lebanese culture. Lebanese culture is different from Somali culture. And within that culture, within that culture, there's also extreme in both ends. So وكذلك, Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةٍ وَسَطًا. Ask for something that is in your culture is modern, it's not too extreme. So let us say if 50,000 is extreme, £500 is low, then okay, and the culture is as 2,000, 3,000, that's what you should do, inshallah. But you also have to understand, when the sister asks, she asks so much money, you know, she's really not being fair to the man who will be marrying her. And when you ask so little, well, nothing, there is no limit in Sharia. But if you also have to understand, the respect that this man has for you is not based on how much he paid, right? It's based on the you know, on your deen, on everything, on akhlaq, you know. This is what it's based on. So money has no relevant, it's not relevant here, has no value here. So you don't, you know, be extreme of either end. So inshallah, next question. What time is Isha, by the way? 11 minutes, yes.
Yeah. One of the questions was, are you allowed to marry a woman that doesn't believe in any religion?
No. Next. I'm sorry?
What is the appropriate action to take when you're ready to get married?
Well, number one, find someone who would be a good role model for your child. That's very important. He has to be a good role model for your child. He has to be a good father, and she has to be a good mother. Number two, find someone that you're compatible with. Someone that you like the same things. They always say opposite attracts. That's a lie. No, if she likes football and you like cricket, I don't know what would you do, but anyway, in case you do. But, you know, it may not be the best. I'm not saying it, but I'm just throwing that as an example. It should not be the thing that breaks or makes. But somebody that you have a lot of compatibility. That is what is important. Sorry. That is what is necessary for you. The other thing is, of course, age sometimes it plays a very important role. What do you like? And a lot of young people, especially a lot of young men and a lot of young women, I should say, both of you, sometimes when your iman is high, you get very emotional. And you say, I don't care whether he's ugly or not. I'm marrying him for the sake of Allah. Wallahi, I have never... And then you marry him and he looks like gorilla, mashallah, tabarakallah. And then 6 months, you know, with the pregnancy, you say, I can't stand him. No. First, that's why Asma, what do you call the wife of Thabit bin Qais? She said, Ya Rasulallah, I cannot fault my husband in any. He is generous, he's kind, he is very religious. I love everything about him, but he's too ugly. I don't like him. I'm not attracted to him at all. What do you want? I want a divorce from this man. And the Rasulullah said, divorce her. So you have to marry someone that you're attracted to, male or female. Now, next, inshallah.
What information has to be disclosed before marriage?
Anything that would affect your marriage should be disclosed before marriage. Anything, I'll repeat, anything that would affect your marriage, you have to disclose it before marriage. If you think by the time you're the person that you choose get to know about this, that would be the end of this marriage, and he has a chance or there's an opportunity that he may get to know about it. And what I'm talking about, if let us say maybe once upon a time a young man shoplifted, he stole a candy from a store, you know, that will not break your marriage. You know, you were young, you were stupid, you were, you know, and you did that. It will not break your marriage. But if it's something major, then she needs to know and he needs to know. So be careful with that, because a lot of young men, they bounce back from the marriage and say, she's not what I expected, or he's not what I expected. So be careful with that. You make sure you tell the person what matters in this marriage and don't just go ahead with it and later on regret. Now,
what are the grounds for divorce?
Many. The looks, deen, false promises. If the husband made false promises, that's a ground for divorce. Not being a good husband, not being a good wife is a ground for divorces. There's tons of reasons why people get divorced. Bad treatment, not being a responsible parent, not caring for the family, not, you know, financially supporting the family. All of those can be good reasons, you know. But at the end of the day, to have sabr in marriage, hoping that the person, inshallah, will get better and there's a chance, that is always the better choice, be
ibn Allah. If you fall in love and you're not planning to get married sometime soon due to education, etc., can you still date or talk to other people before you're ready for marriage?
Nope. Nope. No, that's a trick of shaitan. Look, Allah in the Quran never said don't commit zina. Never said don't commit adultery. You will not find a Quran, ayah from the Quran saying don't commit adultery. But Allah said, do not be near zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. No, don't do it. No, don't be near it. So when you're in love with someone and you talk and you meet, you know, shaitan is very, very smart, very conniving. Next thing that, you know, just touch hands, you know, hold hands, you know, inshallah. And then next thing that you know, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. So you don't want that, not at all. Next.
What do you do if the parent doesn't like your possible partner?
We ask the reasons. If the reason is like a religious base, then you dismiss it. You listen to them and you obey your parent. And you dismiss that application. If the reasons are based on race or any other thing, then you need someone to talk to your parent. If the reasons are financial based, again, you need someone to talk to your parents, because Allah is the one, Allah is the one who said the best of you or the most honorable in the sight of Allah are those who have most righteousness. And Allah said in the Quran, if they poor, then Allah will enrich them from His bounties. مِنْ يَكُونُ فُقَرَاءُ يُغْنِيهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. So it depends on the reasons why the parent may reject or object to a proposal. And that is, as some of them, they have the right to say no. And sisters, you have to accept that if you say you are Muslimah and you agree this deen is from Allah, then if your parents say these reasons are valid and the sheikh says they are valid, and they ask you to dismiss the idea of marrying that person, then you gotta listen to the deen of Allah. Age it's relative. Sometimes I don't see age as an issue, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married somebody who's older than him, and he also married someone who's younger than him, and he married in between. So age is not an issue in Islam. Absolutely, it is not. And as a matter of fact, you cannot discriminate. You cannot discriminate a person because of his age. And there was an issue in America that we dealt with long, long time ago, that the father rejected the proposal because of color and because of age. We had a majlis of ulama. We really discussed the issue. And immediately the request of the father was denied, and they performed the nikah without the approval of the father, because his base was, this man, he's this color, I don't like that color, and this man, he's that age and I don't like that age, therefore I will never give my daughter to him. And the imam said, ulama said, tough luck. Now, next.
If you are skeptical about your husband or wife's virginity, do you tell your loved one if you've sinned before marriage or keep it to yourself?
Read it again.
If you are skeptical about your husband or wife's virginity, do you tell your loved one if you've sinned before marriage or keep it to yourself?
When you say loved one, you mean the one that you're marrying or the parent? Okay, in this situation, see, this is one of the things that would affect marriage. And that would also be based on the culture. Listen to me. It would affect marriage and it would be based on the culture. If you, for example, no offense, please, don't be offended if you're under that category. But what I've noticed, a lot of revert, they don't make that a decision. They don't make a big issue out of it. Especially men, they don't make that issue. That's not a priority for them. Whereas Somalis, for example, or Arabs, you know, that is a condition. And even the worst of, you know, of men who was, you know, he did all haram things, he wants to marry a sister, or masha'Allah, tabarakallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, who has never ever touched before. So that's a cultural thing. And you may say, well, it's not right, and I agree with you 100%. It's not fair for him to do whatever he wanted to do before marriage, and he want a sister who is decent. That's not fair, but it's up to her to say yes or no to that. But in that situation, she has to tell him or what happened or her parents, so he won't make issue out of it. Because when it comes out, if the man doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I've dealt with all situations. I dealt with the young man who married this young lady, and he found what he did not. And he was decent enough to say, "I just want divorce." But I also found somebody who made, you know, headlines, and he said, "Oh, she wasn't like this. She wasn't like this." So you don't know what kind of person is going to be. So that is one of the things that matters in a marriage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Jazakum Allah khair. I just want to say thank you for also volunteering. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.